Hello and welcome to The Sound of Economics from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Elina Rybakova, visiting fellow at Bruegel, and today I'm presenting an installment of the Bruegel Backstage podcast series, focusing on saving asylum in Europe. Joining me today is Marc-Olivier Padi, head of the studies department at Terra Nova, and Jean-Paul Trantiet, senior fellow and former board member at Institut Montaigne. We have been discussing in Europe asylum and migration policy, and it's important to divide the two. And of course, we've also heard a lot about the cost of some of the deals we have stricken with Turkey on migration, as well as on Libya. How cheap are these deals? And also how important it is to differentiate between asylum and migration. The speakers here will help me understand these issues and walk us through the legal and economic aspects of this debate. Please, Jean-Paul, go ahead. Why do you choose to focus specifically on asylum in this report?
We decided to focus specifically on the right to asylum because we think that it is clearly in danger in the EU. Some of our countries are closing their harbors to the ships that are rescuing refugees. Some others are refusing the principle of solidarity, which is at the basis of the EU treaties and of the EU project. And this is the reason why we think that the asylum deserve a special treatment as compared to migration. This being said, we are not naive, and we know that there is a kind of connection and a strong connection, actually, between the asylum right and the migration process, mainly because most of the EU countries decided to close the door to legal migration. And then, of course, a lot of applications are done to our asylum authorities because there is no other way to come into Europe and to have the right to stay. Now, if we come to the deals that were done with some countries outside of the EU, the first point is that they are not cheap. They are costing a lot. Several billion euros. But what is probably most important is that they are costing a lot to our values.
Some politicians have been very happy that their rivals have subsided, partially thanks to these deals. Now, of course, from the macroeconomic point of view, with the Federal Reserve and ECB tightening rates, Turkey might be on the brink of a financial crisis. Are you worried that these deals will become even more expensive going forward?
This could be, of course. Turkey is in a very good situation to negotiate with Europe because the pressure on the political system, if a new wave should arrive in Europe, would be huge, of course. But even if the amounts are huge, counting 2 or 3 billion, it would not save Turkey from its economic bad shape and bad situation. So as we said, it's also the moral cost of this deal, which is quite important. It's important with Turkey because it gives Turkey a level of pressure on Europe, but it's all the more difficult with a country like Libya, where we don't know really with who we are negotiating. Maybe sometimes we are negotiating directly with smugglers, which is, of course, morally uncomfortable.
We have seen a lot of politicization of the debate on asylum. How do we propose to tackle that, to make the asylum decision process in Europe more independent from the political interference?
Yes, that's one of our main points, is to say that there are great differences today when asylum seekers make applications to for this statute of asylum in Europe. And the situation is quite diverse in the countries in Europe, and especially on the independence of the agencies that grant or not. asylum papers. So the first thing is that we should take away these kind of decisions from political interference and from political short view. It is the case in France, in fact, where the OFPRA, the agency which is in charge of this, is completely independent. And it is normal because it is an individual right to have access to the process of going through the personal situation. So that's our very important harmonization that would occur on the European level.
If I can add a word, I think coming back to the differentiation between asylum and migration, we are not saying that migration should be managed by independent authorities, by technical bodies under the supervision of judges, because migration has a political dimension. This is not the case with asylum, which is a right granted under the Geneva Convention that is granted through the European treaties, and that is an individual right. You either fulfill the criteria for asylum or you don't. If you don't, you may apply for migration, legal migration, and there the politicians, I would say the politician circles, have a word, of course, to say, and but not for independent authorities that have to decide on application. And just a second precision, I think we are not saying that the process should be totally integrated at the European level. What we are looking or asking for is independent national authority that are coordinated by an EU agency which has of course to manage the process, check the consistencies the consistency of the criteria that are applied, and also manage the principle of solidarity, that is the sharing between the different countries of the burden of, because it is a burden, we should not forget that, the burden of receiving asylum seekers in different countries.
Regarding burden sharing, mm-hmm. the recent agreements haven't been as successful as we had wished. How do you propose to move forward on burden sharing?
There are, of course, a very difficult situation where some EU countries doesn't even accept the principle of solidarity. As far as I know, there is already an infringement action led by the EU Commission before the court against one of these countries. We think that it is time to be probably more active and more to put more pressure on the countries that are not complying with one of the main basis of the European Union process. Two ideas in this regard. The first one should be think about the budget arm, just to say to this kind of countries, some of them are benefiting of a lot of subvention coming from the EU budget, that solidarity is not a one-face obligation. There are several aspects that should be put together. Another one, which is a kind of idea that has been put in the letter from Emmanuel Macron published yesterday, is that Schengen should be maybe completely reshaped, because Schengen is a set of rights, a set of obligations too. And it's just to say to every country, you can have the benefit of Schengen without the burden sharing of a joint asylum policy.
Would you suggest explicitly linking some of the burden-sharing obligations to the structural funds that some of these countries receive?
That's in our report, yes.
Could you explain a little bit more the issues with the first entry and the current Dublin regulations? What are the main concerns that you have and how do you propose to change them?
Not so easy. First of all, the rule of first entry, of the country of first entry, was set at the beginning of the 90s. Some people just forgot that. It was just at the beginning of the enlargement of the Schengen Agreement. And this was a condition that was imposed to some countries, in particular Italy, just to be accepted within Schengen. It was at this time because the Schengen countries, at this time Schengen was not a European policy, it was the tool of five member states, if you remember well. Their intention is to oblige the countries that are situated at the external borders of the EU just to strengthen the control of the border and to make their own affairs of instructing the asylum applications. What is our problem now? It is that this system is completely failing. First of all, the strengthening of the external border is not a success. We know that there are hundreds of thousands of people that are not registered, that are just arriving to a country and just quickly as possible leaving this country to go to another one, in particular France, Belgium, Germany, etc. We know that the system that was supposed to prevent multiple requests for asylum also failed, because it is possible to have multiple requests depending on the times you are remaining in the clandestinity. And this system, in fact, encourage and increase the number of secondary movement, that is movement from migrants from Italy to France and Germany, for example, or from Greece to the East European countries and also to Germany. So for all this reason, we think that it is not reasonable just to keep this system, and it is time to think to a new system, completely new system that is should be reshaped really completely.
Yes, what we could imagine is something completely different, where we should have in the countries with European Mediterranean coasts new centers to receive, so European receiving and processing centers where asylum seekers would come, and then they could request asylum in the member state of their choice, and so member states would open offices within the centers and send agents there who will be tasked with processing applications in less than 1 month, so that it's manageable for everybody. And then we should of course have a kind of harmonization or equalization of the procedures between different countries. So even if asylum seekers say, I would like to apply in this country, if there are too many applications for this country, then the European agency would put them in other near other member states. And then, so that would be the good system to share the burden between the European countries, whereas the situation today is not satisfying at all. And also, one important thing is that we should have a European harmonization concerning the access to labor market, because there are very different situation throughout Europe. Where in some countries like Germany, for example, asylum seekers or indeed refugees, once they have their paper, are able to work quite quickly, and countries, on the contrary, like France, where they cannot, where they are not allowed at all to work. And that's not a good situation, because if people can access very early to the labor market, then their integration is easier. And so the goal, of course, of all our countries should be to have a better integration and to prepare the integration from the very beginning. And of course, training and orientation for in the labor market is a key moment for this integration.
In terms of the financial quantification of some of the recommendations, you've done a very helpful analysis of how much this new policies from the EU budget would cost all of us. We already put it to put it in perspective. We already know that the Turkey deal is at least 3 billion. So your proposals, how much would that cost as an additional spending from the EU budget?
Yes, we made a special appendix. It's around millions, but it's definitely not million. It's the estimate cost for the EU budget would be around 475 million, for example. And so we have the whole details in our report. You can find on our websites. So of course it's not so expensive as some people could fear.
So more nuanced policies might actually turn out cheaper for the budget contributors in Europe.
Definitely, and the chaos today is a bad situation for everybody. So we have to move from this situation.
The questions sometimes appear regarding the pull factors, and those questions appear to the regards the asylum process as well as the general migration debate. How would you respond to those questions, saying that, look, we have better social systems in Europe, and therefore that provides a pull factor for people to come?
It's true that this argument comes very often, and there is also this idea of kind of social shopping or tourism where people, but it doesn't work this way. When people really, if we're talking about asylum seekers, they are fleeing their countries because of war or because of personal persecution. So it's not so much the pull factor, which is very dominant today. And also, if we change the European asylum system to save it, it doesn't mean that it would enforce this pull factor, because anyway we are dealing with individual rights. So at the end of the day, what the judge have to deal with, or the agencies have to deal with, personal situations and personal rights that have not necessarily anything to do with the economic outlook of the countries where they're coming from.
Yes, definitely. The pull factor is not at stake with the protection of individual rights. What is the main pull factor in the current situation is that it's the absence of coordination, the absence of harmonization of our EU processes, depending on the member states, which make, to some extent, some candidates to migration select the countries through their will make their application and to try to, I would say, balance the risk of being detected as an illegal immigrant and or to be accepted as a beneficiary of the asylum. What is also important, I think, that is that Of course, we should, to put an end to this pulling factor, it is also important to show that, first of all, EU countries are coordinated, that they are applying the same policy, that they are really wishing to comply with their duties according to the convention, Geneva Convention and the EU treaties, and also that they are ready to put in place a common policy that will lead to send back to the country of origin people that are not accepted under the treaties, the application of the treaties application, and also that are not entitled to stay under another possibility of legal migration. Of course, we should differentiate the beneficiaries of the beneficiary of the asylum right and persons who has been rejected.
How do you see the European spending on Frontex? Whether it's been efficient in your view and how that should evolve going forward?
I think that Frontex is a good tool, but too little, not efficient enough. And Frontex should, of course, have more means, more agents, and a much more efficient integration with the national border control forces. This is important that the EU, at the end of the day, have a right to see and to help managing this control of our external borders. That would mean, of course, increasing sharply the means of Frontex.
And the last question on integration, you know, my accepting asylum seekers is as much as winning hearts and minds as it is about economics. What would you be key recommendations on integration side of asylum seekers?
Yes, the integration process should start as early as possible, and that means as early as they are really taking the first step on our borders, on our shores. So we should provide them as fast as possible with training and orientation programs. And and this starts, of course, with training for the languages and speaking, and also to learn some key attitudes in the day-to-day life. And then to open quite quickly the access to the labor market and to the working places, because in many countries we don't have the same regulations on this, and it's really a key moment for the success of integration is get to labor and to have its own income.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening to Bruegel Backstage on the Sound of Economics channel. And thank you to my guests, Marc Olivier and Jean-Paul. If you're interested in more of Bruegel's work, we have an array of blog posts and publications available at our website, www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again. Until the next time, bye-bye.